I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13 tonight as we get into the Word. We've been learning this summer about being disciple makers, about going and making disciples, and tonight we're going to look at the parable of the sower. And I'm sure it's familiar to most of you, but as Jesus began, really Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8, he starts teaching about the kingdom, and this is really the first parable that he gives in regard to the kingdom, and kind of lays the foundation, the groundwork for all of the parables that come after it. And so Matthew 13, verse 1 is where we're going to start. If you're able, let's stand together. Listen, I know it's hot and you're tired, and I know that a lot of busyness, a lot of things going on in your life, but I just want to say that I'm thankful that we have the time together and spend time in the Word of God. And let's take full advantage, give your attention to the Word of God tonight. Matthew 13, 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray together. Our merciful Father, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, right now, we would repent of any sin. We would confess any faults that are before you tonight, that you would cleanse us and make us whole. Father, any distractions that are in our minds, any weakness of our flesh, I pray, dear God, that you would set those things aside, that you would give us strength by your Spirit in our inner man, and give us a desire to hear, a desire to understand, and a will and an ability to obey. Lord, energize us by your Spirit to give us power and strength that we need. And Lord, please help me to say the right words tonight. And Lord, help us to put our faith in you. Lord, help us to prepare our hearts that it would be good ground to receive the Word of God tonight and bear fruit for your glory. And Father, for those who might be listening to this message who have never been born again, God, I pray that their heart would be good ground, that would receive the Word of God unto eternal life. Please, Lord, help all of us to believe and obey your Word tonight. Please help me, for I'm nothing without you, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Men, please be seated. Jesus went out. He went by the seaside, and when the people heard that Jesus had gone out and was by the shore of Galilee, multitudes came, and as we've studied before, Jesus got into a boat, went out into the water a little ways, the multitude stood on the shore, and he begins to teach them. And so his disciples are there, and there are multitudes there who aren't believers, who aren't followers of Christ, so it's a mixed multitude. Some believers, followers of Jesus, some of them not. And so he begins to speak to them in parables. Now, just as a side note, most of my life I thought Jesus gave parables to give a clearer understanding. And we're going to find from Jesus tonight that's not exactly the case. Jesus actually spoke in parables so that those who had faith in him, he would empower them to get an understanding. And those who didn't believe wouldn't understand. And we're going to see that. It's what's prophesied by Isaiah. And we'll look at that in just a minute. But when we're talking about going and making disciples, and we look at this parable of the sower, I want you to go back at verse 3 and just notice this very basic truth: sowers sow. I know that's profound and that's deep theology, but he says, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Do you remember what it said when he went and he called Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, James and John. It says that when he went to them, they were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Yeah, fishermen fish, and so or so. It's not that complicated, but can I just say this, that as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, we ought to be in the business of making disciples. If you are a Christian, you ought to be a witness. And if you are a sower, you sow. If you're a fisher, you fish. And they went forth to sow. This is the story that he tells. In verse 4, it says, when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Fowls came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. This might have been some place like where we live up on the mountain. There's a lot of rocks and not a lot of deepness of earth there. Does anybody know? Like, we tried to grow a garden. Our garden grows rocks. Like, when it rains, more rocks come out of the ground. That's the kind of place that this was, a stony place. There's a lot of rock under the ground. And because there's no deepness of earth, when the sun was up, they were scorched. Why? Because they had no root. There were too many stones in the ground. The roots couldn't go down deep. So instead of growing down first, they grew up first, and they had no root. Okay? And listen, and I don't know, any of you have ever tried to plant anything, you understand that. Sometimes things come up real quick, and you go, oh man, that's great, it's coming up quick, but that's not always a good thing. It's better for them to dig down deep, to get those roots down deep so that they can be strong when times like we're having right now. By the way, who gives thanks for a little bit of rain today? Amen. Praise God. Amen. I stood in my yard and just looked at it and listened to it. It was glorious. And so these had no roots, so they were scorched. Then verse 7 says, some fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up and choked them. And we see that too. Listen, if you're going to grow something, you've got to get the weeds out. Amen. If you're going to grow something, you get the thorns out. Because if you don't, they will choke out that good fruit. They'll choke it out. But verse 8 says, other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some in hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Now, I think this parable is very interesting because most of you have ever tried to grow anything. It's not everything that you would sow that you would go out with your seed bag on your hip and you would just cast seed everywhere. And even if you did, you might be careful not to throw it in the road. I'm just trying to be realistic. If you're trying to grow something, you're probably not just going to, like, I'm going to feed the birds today. No, I'm trying to grow crops. If you're going out to sow, you don't intentionally throw it in places where there's rocks or where there's thorns. If you're going to grow something, you throw it where you know it's good soil. And so the parable is interesting from the outset because if you were going to plant something, you wouldn't do it that way. But the reality is, we're not talking about physical seed and physical ground. We're talking about the Word of God and men's hearts. And you don't know what a man's heart or a woman's heart or a boy's heart or a girl's heart is like. You don't know. We try to judge people by the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart, and you can't judge a book by its cover. You can't do it. You and I don't know what kind of ground the seed of the Word of God is going to find in somebody's life. And so the parable is interesting from the outset because sowers didn't actually do it that way. Yeah, they broadcast sometimes, but it was in a prepared field. They didn't just go around throwing it everywhere. But that's the picture that he gives us, that with the Word of God, we do go and throw it everywhere because you don't know. And I've been amazed sometimes. You and I, we tend to judge people by the way they look, and sometimes you think, I'm going to talk to this guy, but I don't know, he looks kind of rough, I'm not sure how this is going to go, and you're expecting his heart to be stony, or you're expecting it to be packed down like the wayside, like the roadway, and you'll be amazed sometimes, the one you think will hear the least will hear the most. Amen. And so we don't know, so we got to go and take the seed everywhere. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and the evening withhold not thine hand, For thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. You know, if you are looking at the condition sometimes, you know, the proverb tells us that the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. He'll beg and harvest and have nothing. Sometimes people look at situations, they go, well, this is not really a good time to talk about Jesus right now, and we'll consider all these different factors. And I'm going to tell you something, it's kind of like working out or being on a diet. There's always an abundance of excuses, right? Being a witness, talking to people about Jesus, there's always an abundance of excuses. And what the proverb or what the Ecclesiastes is saying here, this wisdom is saying here, is that if you're looking, you're going to find an excuse and you won't sow. And when you don't sow, you won't reap. And he says, listen, you don't know what's going to prosper. You don't know how God's going to work. I'm amazed. I love by the way, verse 5 there. You don't know the way of the Spirit. You don't know how the Spirit of God works. And you don't know how the bones of that baby grow in the mother's womb. By the way, that's a baby. That's a child in the mother's womb. Amen. I mean, over and over and over, the scriptures make it so clear. He said, you don't know how those things work, and you don't know when you sow what's going to prosper. So sow in the morning, sow in the evening, sow all the time, everywhere you go, because sowers sow. Be faithful to be a witness. Be faithful. In verse 10, his disciples came, back in our text, verse 10, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Isaiah 6, 8 through 10 is where that comes from. And listen, the Lord told Isaiah, you're going to go and you're going to preach, but they're not going to hear, because they have closed their eyes. They have shut their ears. And so Jesus gives parables so that the disciples, the believers, can have understanding. But those who reject Christ, who won't believe, they don't have the understanding. Verse 16, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Now the Lord would go on in verses 18 through 23, and he's going to break down what the meaning of the parable is. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower, and he's going to describe in detail what the different things mean. What does it mean, the wayside? What does that mean when the birds come and snatch it away? What does it mean, the stony ground, when it's withered away when the sun comes out? What is that thorny ground when it's choked out? What is that good ground that brings forth? What does all that mean? He's going to explain that, and maybe you can talk about that more in your group, but I want you to get this. Sower sow, but fruit is the responsibility of the hearer. Fruit is the responsibility of the hearer, and results are up to God. It's been said for so long about so many different issues, but duty is ours. Results belong to God. It is our duty to take the gospel to other people. It is our command. It is our commission. It is our great privilege to get to talk to others about Jesus. And sometimes I get really discouraged when I don't see fruit. And I have to constantly remind myself that the results are not up to me. Jesus said, others have sown, and you're going to reap where others have sown, and you're going to sow where others will later reap, but it's all one work. We're all working together for the glory of God. Some of you might remember Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, I don't know when the fruit's going to come, and I don't know how that fruit's going to look, but I believe the promises of God that if we'll be faithful with a broken heart to take the gospel to the lost, that we will see fruit to the glory of God. Sow or sow, but the results are up to God. Who decides what the condition of a person's heart is? If that wayside is a packed down heart like a roadway, if that stony ground is a heart that's got too many stones in it and there's no depth, if a thorny ground heart is one who's choked out by the cares of this world and concerns of this life, if the good soil is a heart that's ready to receive the word of God, who decides what the condition of the heart is? Well, my Bible tells me, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. The condition of your heart is up to you. You can try to blame your circumstances, you can try to blame your parents, you can try to blame society, but at the end of the day, you will give an answer before God. And if your heart is hard, it's only up to you to soften your heart to receive the word of God. Don't have a hard heart, but receive the word of God and pray for God to prepare the hearts of others to receive the word. Let's stand together. We're going to pray, and then we're going to split up into our small groups tonight. I'm so thankful that you're here, and I pray that your time together tonight will be beneficial. One of the reasons we do the small groups is trying to mimic what we see in scriptures. As Jesus would speak to the multitude, we see the example right here. He was speaking to the multitude, but then he came aside with his disciples and explained the parable. Do you see it? He preached to a big group, and then they broke into a small group, if you will, and he talked to his disciples about what he had just taught. And that's what we're trying to pattern here tonight. So as you get in your group, think about the things that God has taught through this word. Ask questions and dig in so that we can gain a better understanding, and be open and honest with each other in your group. We need that accountability. Thank you for being here tonight. Brother Mike, will you lead us in a word of prayer?